Okay, today is the 18th of Iyar, May 12th, and we are starting Perek Kaf. Kaf, we really, we're almost done. I mean, we're not going to finish because you can see today we're only doing three psukim from Perek Kaf.
Sorry. I think, Ruth, you need to mute because...
Ruth, you only have one device muted. Yeah.
I just changed to my computer. I'm going to mute.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're only doing three psukim because there's a lot of things here to discuss, and I learned a lot preparing this. So, so we mentioned at the end of last perek that things were getting bad for David HaMelech again, and another rebellion was brewing, and... because of this sort of conflict between Yisrael and Yehuda in terms of who they were fighting with each other, in terms of who had the stronger connection to David HaMelech, and there was a lot of resentment. And so that's how we're beginning here. V'sham nikra ish bli ya'el, u'shmo sheva ben bichri, ish yamini. Okay, So you see the translation is now their chance to be a base man. So it's the Metsudat Tzion, I think, takes this Aleph and turns it into a Hey, like Makara. That's how a lot of people understand it. So as opposed to there was called a base man, it was their chance to be a base man. So Ish Bli Ya'el, we've seen this word a couple times. We saw it first in Shmuel with Chana when Eli thinks she's drunk and she says, don't think that I'm a Belial, which we associate with idolatry. And we learn from that if you daven drunk, you may as well be doing idolatry. And we've seen it a couple other times. It first appears in the Chumash when it talks about idolatry. So that's the type of man he is. And his name is Sheva ben Bichri. And of course, we're going to discuss who he was. And it says here, Ish Yamini. And we would think from that description of Ish Yamini that he was a Benjamite. But we're going to see some different opinions that maybe he was an Ephraimite. Ve'itzka b'shofar, so he blew the shofar. And if you remember, Yoav also blew the shofar after Avshalom was killed to show that the civil war was over. So he's blowing the shofar to start another civil war. Ve'yomer ein lanu chelek b'David v'lo nachala lanu b'ven Yishai. So we have no portion of David, neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Now it sounds redundant, but as you know from the way we've been learning, nothing's ever redundant and they're going to mean two different things. And we're going to see that this pasuk is echoed in Malachim with the split of Rechavam and Yeravam. So then he says, Ish le'ohalav Yisrael, every man to his tent, O Israel. So he's talking to the tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, and telling them to not accept David HaMelech as king and to go back to the tribes. They have no portion. They have to rebel. Vaya'al kol yish Yisrael me'acharei David. And the men of Israel went up from after David, meaning they left David, acharei Sheva ben Bichri, and they started following Sheva ben Bichri. V'ish Yehuda davku b'malkam. But the men of Yehuda, they clung to their king, min ha'yardin v'ad Yerushalayim. From the Jordan until Jerusalem. Ve'avo David al beito Yerushalayim. And David came to his home in Jerusalem. Ve'ikach ha-melech et eser nashim pilagshim asher hiniach lishmor habayit. So he took these 10 concubines that he had left to guard the house. You remember what happened to them with Avshalom. Ve'itneim beit mishmeret. And he placed them in some kind of guardhouse. Ve'yichal kalem. And he sustained them. Ve'alehem loba, but he did not come unto them, so he wasn't intimate with them. Ve'itana tsurot adyom mutan almanot chayot. So they remained bound as widows, even though their husband, David, was still alive until the day of their death. Okay, so there's a lot of interesting questions that the Malbim is going to ask, but we're not going to see the Malbim until a little later, so I'm just going to preempt a little.
Here, this. Quick question.
Yeah.
Were they prisoners?
So it's very interesting. I think we mentioned this with Bathsheba, that the true tikkun for a normal person would have been to divorce Bathsheba, right? You married a woman that you were adulterous with, you know, seemingly, and so you have to, you can't stay married to that woman. But there's an expression, I forgot the expression, something about tikkun and aval, I forgot the expression, but in the tikkun, in the fix, comes somebody else's downfall. If David had married Bathsheba, because she had been a vessel of the king, she would have had no recourse of where to go. She couldn't remarry. She couldn't do anything. So he had to stay married to her so that she wouldn't be unduly punished for his sin. So I think with these Pilagshim, actually, I learned that it's Pilagshim, which is strange that it's Im, right, and not Ot. That I think it probably would be the same halacha, that by staying married to them, they were still sustained and fed and, you know, like, able to live. They just, you know, as opposed to not ever being able to remarry because they were a part of the king. But the Malbim is going to explain a little more, and the Midrash is going to explain, like, why he couldn't be intimate with them anymore. Okay, the other question is, he's got this whole rebellion brewing, and the first thing he does is takes care of these 10 women. So that's also, like, a very nice thing of David to take care of them and make sure that they're taken care of, but it's also a little strange. Okay, sometimes the way I teach, especially, I recognize this as a fault. I get so hung up, like, within each pasuk, like, opening it up and unfolding it, that we lose a sense kind of the flow. So that was just like an important flow question, like why is this happening in this order, and also why is it in the same paragraph? Like why didn't taking care of the women merit its own paragraph? Okay, so first we're going to explore who Sheva ben Bichri is. So this was fascinating. So this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tana. So we learn from a Braita, Hu Navat, Hu Micha, Hu Sheva ben Bichri. Okay, so based on some homiletic interpretation of their names, they're the same people. Navat was the father of Yeravam, who is the one who rebelled against Rechavam and started the whole nation of Yisrael, as opposed to Yehuda, and really split the kingship. Okay, Navat, so why is he called Navat? Shenibat v'lo ra'ah. He looked but did not see. So the interpretation, we'll read a couple things, but Steinschultz is believed that he was destined for greatness, and that was achieved only by his son, Micha. Shenit machmech bebinyan. So he was crushed, Micha. You can see the same letters, the memchaf, in the building of the storage cities of Pitom and Ramses was miraculously saved. Rashi's going to explain what that is. Umashmo. Sheva ben Bichri Shmo. Okay, so these are all the same people. So Sheva ben Bichri then was the father of Yeravam. And we know Yeravam was from Ephraim, so we're going to see a source that's going to address that, why he's called an Ish Yamini. And he's also Micha, and you may have heard of Pesel Micha in Shoftim, that he went against Jewish law and rebelled against whatever, not that there was a government then, it was just Shoftim, but he sort of established his own priestly class that were not Kohanim and made an idol and got money for people coming to pray there. And this is considered almost on par with the Pilegesh Begiv'ah, the horrible story of the concubine on the hill that was cut up into 12 pieces. And these are like the two stories at the end of Shoftim that are really awful. Sorry. Okay, so now let's explain some of this with Rashi. And we have the English. So crushed in the building of the Egyptians, who put him into the building in the place of a brick, as is explained in the Agadah. So this Agadah is a crazy Agadah, that there were children that were used in the making of the bricks. The Egyptians were that cruel. And Moshe said to the Holy One, "You have done evil to this people. Now if they don't have bricks, they place the children of Israel into the building. The Holy One replies to him, "They are wiping out the thorns because it is revealed before me that if these children lived, they would be completely wicked. If you want, make a test and remove one." Moshe went and removed Micah. So obviously, this is very troubling theologically and all sorts of ways. And then, of course, it's true that Micah ends up making this idol and wreaking havoc on society during Shoftim. And then even more so, knowing that he might then be the father of Yeravam, who caused the kingdom to split. So it's a crazy story. The Maharasha, Chidushei Agadot, expands on it a little further. So he says, "V'amar hu Nabat hu Micha hu Shava, de Nabat haya mishavet Ephraim, uv'Micha uv'shavet v'vichre hamifarash behen gamken ish mihar Ephraim." So they're also described, Micha and Shava ben Bichri, as a man from the mountain of Ephraim. Gam b'maase de Shava ben Bichri kativ v'sham nikra ish bli'al ashem maase Micha. So why is Shava ben Bichri called this idolatrous man, ish bli'al? Because of the incident of Micha, shekodemlo, that came before him. Dichtiv be'ovdei avodah zarah yatzu anashim b'nei bli'al. As is written, when those who worship idols come out from them, children who bli ya'el, who worship idols. Im levavecha bli ya'el v'gomer b'maseid. Okay, so just different examples of idolatry bringing out more idolatry. V'maseid yiravam. And so the...
Stacey, can I just ask a question?
Of course.
I didn't understand before when it said, hu navat hu micha. How can it be two people? Like, what are they saying there?
They're saying that these are all different names for the same person. I think Micha actually came before. He might be the same person, or he might be the father. But Nabat and Sheva ben Bichri are definitely the same person, according to all these sources. It's not clear if Micha is also the same person, or he's the father of Nabat / Sheva ben Bichri, who are definitely the same people.
But okay. Is it really saying that he had the characteristics? I mean, how can it be two people at once?
For Sheva ben Bichri and Nabat, they're definitely the same people, and he's called Nabat because of something having to do with seeing.
But what about Micha?
And Micha, so that also was, Micha is like a nickname because he was crushed into the rock, into the brick. Nitmach mich, whatever that word was.
But does he mean that he's actually Micha, the one who was Micha in Shoftim?
Yeah, so that's the only one that maybe isn't clear, that maybe he was actually the father of Nabat / Sheva ben Bichri, but those two are definitely the same people, and Nabat is just a nickname for Sheva ben Bichri.
Okay.
V'maase diravam kativ v'shem imo tsrua isha almana. So when we learn about the whole incident of Yeravam, who's the one that rebels and creates the whole 10 tribes, the state of Israel, it's written, the name of his mother was Tzru'ah, a widow. Al Shem Ma'aseh Sheva ben Bichri. Because of this incident, we're going to see that Sheva ben Bichri gets killed. Okay, so that is his widowed mother's husband. That was his father. Shekodem lo sheneharag aviv Navat. Shehu Sheva ben Bichri, because his father Nevat was killed, and this is Sheva ben Bichri. V'hayta ishto almana b'maase de Yeravam, and his wife therefore was a widow by the time of the incident of Yeravam. V'kamar de b'maase Micha kar'u Micha al shem maase de kodem lo b'mitzrayim. And on the incident of Micha, he's called Micha because of what happened to him before this in Egypt. Shenit mach mech b'binyan, that he was crushed into the building. Uvimase diravam shekaru navat. So in the incident of Yeravam, where he's called Navat, Alshem shenibat v'lora'a, because he was seen but didn't see. She'al maase Yeravam ra'a yotze ish me'amato. Because in the case of Yeravam, he saw that a man would come from his mother, I think. Ach kashabikra lemor deshev ben bichri hu navat. So Ruth, he's having the same question as you did. He said, it's difficult to say that Sheva ben Bichri and Navat are the same person. Deha b'Sheva ben Bichri kativ ishamini. Because for Sheva ben Bichri, it says he's called a Benjamite. Demashma shehaya mi Benjamin. it looks like he's from Benjamin. Navat me'Ephraim hayam. We know for sure that Navat was from Ephraim. V'yesh lamar dekar'u ish yamini. We can solve this by saying that the only reason he was called Yishimini, a Benyamite, al shem shehaya cholek b'machut beit David, because he was divisive in the kingship of David. Sheshevet Binyamim hayu cholkim b'machoto shel David b'shvil Shaul. In the same way that the tribe of Benjamin was divisive in his kingdom, the kingdom of David, for Shaul. So he's just called Yishimini, meaning a divisive person like a Benjamite, but really he was from Ephraim. That's how he solves that. Okay.
Do we have that anywhere before? I mean, or again, where someone
I haven't
is
seen
divisive
it.
And therefore is called Yamini?
No, I haven't seen that. It's definitely like it's an issue in terms of making this connection.
Right.
Okay. So this is from Kohelet Rabbah. And on the same line, it's going to quote a later pasuk. That's like from, I think, Pasuk 24, Kaf Dalet or something like that. Elelo ken hadavar ki ish mehar Ephraim sheva bin Bichri, shmo nasa yado b'melch David. Shmo nasa yado b'melch b'David. So this is a Pasuk we're going to see later, that he lift up his hand against the king, against David. You see that the letter bet is in both places. It could have just said b'melch David, or b'David ha-melech, but instead it says b'melech b'David. Im b'melech lama b'David. If it was, why do you need both these words? B'im b'David lama b'melech. Amar Rabbi Azariah v'Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Chagai b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak bar Merion l'lamedcha, so this is to teach you, shekol ha-ma'iz panav v'tamidei chachamim v'gadol hador. Anybody who is chutzpedek, who shows his face in a chutzpedek way, in against Talmidei Chachamim and the greatest person of the generation, ki ilu me'ez panav b'melch. It's as if he was chutzudek to the king. Alechad kama v'chama, all the more so, David shehu melech v'chacham v'gadol hador. So David was all three of those. He was a melech, he was a chacham, and he was the gadol hador. Amar Rabbi Yudan kol me'ez panav b'melch, ki ilu me'ez panav b'shchina. Anybody who's chutzpedik towards the king, it's as if he was chutzpedik towards the Shechina. Nasaya do b'melech b'David, b'melech ze melech malchei hamlachim. So when it says b'melech, it's referring to the king of kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'achar kach b'David, and afterwards with David, ze David melech Yisrael. So he was chutzpedik to both the holy king and the earthly king. Okay. One more really weird source. I've never read this guy before. So this is, it's called the Yalkut Chodesh Egel, which I don't know what that is. And he is known, nothing is known of him, Rabbi Yisrael of Belzitz, an alphabetically arranged selection from Midrash, Zohar, Kabbalistic works. It's very Kabbalistic, it's very strange. And it was published 1648, Yalkut Chadash, and it's quoted by other authors, so it's really weird. Okay, so what he's talking about here is he's talking about all the sins early on in the Torah, so the flood and Migdal Bavel and all those things and all the people who lived during that time, and in Kabbalah, those people who lived during that time, they sinned, like those were really big, humongous sins, and they needed to be fixed. But those souls, I think, still had the opportunity for tikkun. So how were those souls able to fix themselves? Okay, so that's sort of a little background on this. V'hine hayinu tzrichin l'taken chet elu ha'arva dorot b'mitzrayim. So we needed to fix these sins, and how do we fix them? The four generations in Egypt. Okay, and he goes through some of the flood and different things. Ve'od she'echat am karova leinu me'od. So their sin was very close to us. L'chein hutzrachnu lisbol bishvilam avodat parech b'chomer ulevenim. So it was necessary, they needed to suffer for the previous reincarnations of their souls with this bone-crushing labor with mortar and bricks. Ulehit ma'ech k'tzatenu b'dimusim. I don't know what that means. Sorry. Vihine, and I think they were crushed into the building, like we said before. Vihine bezek var haya mitukan hakol. And with this, everything would have been fixed. Ela micha shenitzul ayde tfilat Moshe. But it wasn't fixed because Micha, who was supposed to be killed, he was only living at that time as a tikkun for his soul, and he was supposed to be killed, fixed and crushed into the bricks, but he was saved by the way of the prayer of Moshe. Haya l'sichim be'enenu. He became a thorn in our eyes. L'hachzir chet haplaga limkomo. To return the sin of the plaga, that's Dor Haflaga, which is the generation that built the Migdal Bavel. So he returned it into that place. Plaga asa b'machut shamayim u'b'machut beit David. And there is this division that was done in the kingship of heaven and in the kingship of the house of David. Ki hu might Micha. And this was Micha. Hu Sheva ben Bichri. And he's also Sheva ben Bichri. So this is saying they're exactly the same. Vehu Nabat. And he was also Nabat. Vegaram lanu ulevanenu hanifutz begaliot. And he caused us and our children this being spread out in exile. Tachat vayefot ha'am dechtiv v'mitzrayim. So in place of when it says the nation spread out, which was written in with regard to Egypt, v'hine chet Sodom ayidei shaya zman karov yoter aleinu, and the sin of Sodom, because it was closer to us, I don't know what he's talking about by that, but continuing on, v'od shaya gamken migvul arteinu, and it was next to us, still talking about Sodom, v'chein kaved Hashem yadam aleinu. Therefore, Hashem heavied their hand upon us. Umetu minyan rav miposh Israel b'shloshet me'afela, and that's why so many people died during the 3 days of darkness, and they didn't make it out of Egypt. V'hine Moshe shehitzil et Micha, and Moshe, because he saved Micha, so I think he's saying that this didn't show sufficient trust in the ways of Hashem, that he was doubting what Hashem was doing, with the babies being killed in the building, and so he saved Micha. Ne'anash liot ben beno to'e etzlo. He was punished that his grandson would stray off the path. V'haya asanu mitarev im ashan shilo. Ashano mitarev im ashan shilo. And his smoke would be mixed up with the smoke of Shilo. Bigamatria Moshe. Shehu bigamatria gamkein Elohim achirim. Lekafe lehem. So, Shilo equals Moshe equals Achirim, foreign gods, that they would submit to them. Okay, so this is the story of Micha that he's referencing here, the story of Pasal Micha, that they would light incense to this statue that was when everything was supposed to be in Shilo, which was where the Mishkan was at that time. If you remember from the very beginning of Shmuel, Shilo was destroyed with the Plishtim. The Plishtim destroyed it. So this Levi that they made the Kohen, okay? So they took a Levi and they made a Kohen, and it tells us his name. This is all from Shoftim. Haya Yonatan ben Gershom. Okay, so his name is Yonatan, the son of Gershom. Who is Gershom? Where do you know that name from before? That was Moshe's son, right? His older son. He had Gershom and Eliezer. Now, if you go to that Pasuk, I should have written the Pasuk for you, sorry. It says Yonatan ben Gershom, and then it says ben Menashe. So something, I don't know if we've talked about, but in Tanakh, every single letter of the alphabet appears once big and once little. Okay, so you all know the first big bet is the word Bereshit, right? The first little aleph, you may know the Midrash, it's in the word Vayikra, the very first word of Vayikra, that Moshe was too humble to write the aleph. You can think of, when you come across them, you can think of other ones. So this has a little nun. So ben Gershom, ben Menashe. If you have a little nun and you take it out, what does it become? Moshe. Okay? So the Shoftim, the author of Shoftim, it was Shmuel, is trying to sort of save face for Moshe by not writing out his name and adding that nun and saying it's the son of Menashe. But it was a Levi. Menashe is not a Levi. Moshe was a Levi. And Gershom was his son's name. So then he brings in this other crazy midrash that I happen to have reviewed recently because I had my students, I was teaching Shemot this year, my students did presentations on different parts of Shemot that I knew we wouldn't get to in class. So they really, they did a great job. They studied and they presented. So one girl presented on Yitro. And this is a crazy story. Sheshiabdu aviv b'tnai k'tuba la'avoda shehi zara lo. So when Gershom was born, the Midrash says that Moshe made a covenant, a contract with Yitro, that he would not, that he would let this child grow up in avodah zara, that he would not bring this child up Jewish. And now, I don't know if you know these crazy three psukim, as Moshe and his wife Tzipporah and his either one or two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, depending on which commentary, if he had the second son yet, set on their way to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And this malach, this angel, comes, and Rashi describes, swallows up Moshe from either side, leaving exposed only his groin area. And at that point, Tzipporah then circumcised her son. Okay, you may have heard of the story. It's a crazy few psukim. The girl who presented this in class, when I assigned her these psukim and all the sources, her mother told me that she said, why have I never read these psukim? And the truth is, if I hadn't assigned this project, I might have just skipped those psukim because they're so strange. Okay, so then Tzipporah, according to this version of the story, the pronouns in those few psukim are really bizarre and not clear. So according to what he's relying on here, Tzipporah circumcised Gershom and then broke the covenant with Yitro that he would not be raised a Jew, and he was then raised a Jew, but Moshe had made that agreement that he wouldn't raise his firstborn son as a monotheist, I guess, and that he would let him be an idolater. So that is Moshe's punishment for agreeing to that, is that his grandson would then be the Levi in this whole Pesal Micha incident. Okay, Kamosha Pereshlo David, I don't know what that is, sorry. Ki Tzipat Tzafa Hayot Yitro Atid Lihit Gayer Tchila. So it should have been that Yitro would have converted first. Mihu Brit Kruta L'Sfatim V'Svivo Nishara Me'od. So again, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but Moshe did things in the wrong order, and he shouldn't have agreed to this condition with Yitro, and Yitro would have then converted earlier, and everything would have gone much more smoothly, and Moshe wouldn't have had this grandson that became, who was a Levi, but became a Kohen in this Pesal Micha story. And Micha, then, we see is Sheva ben Bichri and Nabat, who is creating discord in the Jewish people and causing us to be exiled, and it all stems from Moshe having prayed for him to be saved from being crushed in the brooks. It's a crazy story, right? Right, okay. Okay, so now we have to look. So if you remember, I'm just going to remind you. Sheva ben Bichri said this thing. He said, Ein lanu chalek b'David, v'lo nachala lanu b'ven Yishai, ish le'ohalav Yisrael. Okay, so now look at this pasuk in Malachim. This is what Rechavam says. He says, and all of Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, and they replied to the king, saying, this king is Rechavam, Shlomo's son, when they want him to lower the taxes, and he refuses. They say, Ma lanu chelek b'David, v'lo nachala b'ven Yishai, le'ohalecha Yisrael. It's almost the exact same. Okay, only in this case, if we ever start learning Malachim, it actually worked, and there did become two separate cases, kingdoms. In our case, it's going to have a good ending. I don't know when we'll get there, but it's the end. It's only this parak. His entire rebellion is this one parak. It doesn't go on like the Avshalom rebellion did. Okay, so I just wanted to show you what that leads to. So this is from Sifrei Devarim, so the Midrash on Devarim. Vayomer Astira Panai Mihem. Hashem says, I will hide my face from you. Okay, that's a common theme in Devarim. If we don't keep the mitzvot, Hashem's going to hide his face. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Mesalek Shechinate Mibneihem. Hashem said, I'm going to remove my Shechina from among you. Banim lo amum ban. There will be children who are not trustworthy among you. Banim atem she'en bachem amunam. Your children will not have this emunah. Amadatam al Har Sinai, you stood on Mount Sinai, ve'amartam, and you said, Kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'nishma. Everything that Hashem says, we will do and we will learn. Ani amarti Elokim atem, ki kevan she'amartam le'egal. I said, you are like gods. Okay, that's from Tehillim. Kevan she'amartam le'egal, but when you said to the golden calf, Ela Elohecha, this is your God, Yisrael, Afani amarti lachem, then I said to you, Achen ke'adam t'mutun. You're going to die. Okay, so you went from immortal gods to mortal humans, Adam. Okay, so that's one example. Now the next example. Hechnasi etchem el eretz avotechem, ubeneichem lachem, ubenitam, sorry, lachem beit habechira. I brought you into the land of your forefathers, and you built for yourselves the Beis HaMikdash there. Ve'amarti shelo tiyu golim mimenu leolam. And I said that you would never be exiled from there. Kevan shemartem, but when you said, Ein lanu chalek b'David, we don't have a portion in David. Now you see that this Gemara is quoting our pasuk. It's not clear if it's actually quoting our pasuk or the one from Malachim. Sometimes the pasukim, you know, it's easy to mix them up. Afani amarti, then I said in Amos, Yisrael galai gala mi'alad mato. Israel, meaning just the tribe of Israel, Amos was a Navi for Israel, will surely be exiled from its land. Okay, so that's the consequences of having said that. And now more on that. Ve'al koch zeh darshu rabbeteinu. So this is in Bereshit. Ru'uyim hayu Yisrael shelo yigalu min mekamom leolam. Israel was worthy that they should never be exiled from their place. Ve'lo nigzara gzera. And the evil decree was not made. Ad shekafru b'malchut shamayim u'b'malchut beit David. Until they were kofar, they rejected the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of David. Shenamar, Ein lanu chalek b'David, v'lo nachala b'ben Yishai, ish le'ohalav Yisrael. We don't, so quoting our pasuk from Shmuel. V'yesh lecha lehitbonen, and you need to meditate, ki ein hakatuv kafal lashon kedat bali apshat, because this is not redundant, like somebody who was a pshatist, who was a pure pshatist would say, when it says, Chalek b'David and Nachala b'ben Yishai. They're not the same thing. Aval ha'inyan ki kafru b'malchut shamala. Rather, they were kofar, they rejected the kingship of heaven. V'kafru gam kein b'malchut ben Yishai lamata. And they also rejected the kingship of Yishai below. V'avdu avodazara. And they worshipped idols. Ki lichach amru. Because on this they said, ish le'ohalav, each man to his tent. Vidarshu Rabbeinu, Ish le'Elohav. So they switched around the letters. Instead of saying each man to his tent, each man to his gods. And this is explained. Okay, is that clear for everybody? Okay, so we have a little bit more time to talk about the women. So this is from the Talmud Yerushalmi. I found it in English. One marries neither the king's widow nor his divorcee, so nobody can ever marry a woman who was married to the king, because they were secluded to the day of their death, living in widowhood. So this is the same language as our pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, this teaches that David had them braided and adorned and brought them before himself every day and told his evil inclination, you desire something which is forbidden to you, meaning Bathsheba, right? He desired Bathsheba, who was forbidden to him. So he's punishing him now. By your life, I shall make you desire what is permitted to you. So he wouldn't allow, even though they were permitted to him, he used them as a punishment for himself that he couldn't have them. Okay? So that's one opinion. The rabbis of Caesarea said they actually were forbidden to him. If a private person's vessel was used by a private person, is forbidden for the king's use, all the more so the king is forbidden to use the king's vessels which were used by a private person. So because they were defiled by Avshalom, he actually was not permitted to be with them ever again. And then Rash, this Pnei Moshe is a commentary on the Yerushalmi, and I thought it explained it with a little more depth. So it would, if you were to, this is referring to marrying the king's widow or his divorcee would harm the honor of the king. Shigam liyabim eno kvodo lehakim al shem achav. So even if the king, even to do yibum, the king can't do yibum because it would hurt his honor, because the child he would have with that woman would be in the name of his brother. So that wouldn't be good for the king. V'tiyana tzrurot, they're bound to a living husband. She'afilo acharei mot David asurot lakol. Because even after David would die, they would still be forbidden to everyone. Mikalatan, this is the braiding, that he would braid their hair. Desfirale shehayu mutarot lo lefisha anusotayu me'avshalom. So the people who think that they were permitted to David, they reason that Avshalom raped them. Elisha asara atzmo b'mutarlo. Right, so if somebody, if a woman is raped, she's still allowed to her husband. But he forbade what was permitted to him. Asarot mamash hayu, so those who say that they were really forbidden. Lo kedamar mipnei shenishtamesh behen hedyot. As the one who says, because a hedyot used them. Okay, so because a common person used them, they were therefore not allowed to him. They were actually forbidden to him. Okay, so now, so we'll finish with these malvims. Okay, so here's a malvim. Hashela, the questions. Lama hit orer Sheva ben Bichri? Why was Sheva ben Bichri awakened? When he saw that all of Israel was following after their king, right? This was a fight about like who belonged to the king more, and that Israel was actually devoted to King David. And how could it be after the entire nation judged or deliberated in all of the tribes of Israel to return to the king, that they could turn their hearts suddenly to the voice of this idolatrous man? And what is this seemingly redundancy? We don't have a portion with David, and we don't have an inheritance from the son of Yishai. And why did the king first, it actually uses Beit HaKela, it means imprison. So why did he first imprison his concubines, Beit Mishmeret, into this guardhouse? Terem Siva lirdof achrei Sheva ben Bichri, before he even commanded to chase after Sheva ben Bichri. Okay. Visham Nikra, and there was called Bemamad Havikuach Anichtav Le'el. So because of the standing of the argument that's written about above, Shehitvakhu Yehuda im Yisrael, that Yehuda and Yisrael were arguing, and Yehuda said that they are the mainstay of the kingship because they're from the same tribe as the king. So then came, there happened upon this idolatrous man that created quarrels and arguments. And he said, we don't have a portion in David. What do you have to do with the kingship of David? David, if you think you have a connection to David himself, he belongs to Shevet Yehuda. And none of the other tribes have a portion in him. And that which they said, we have 10 parts of the kingship. Yehuda won, and you don't get a fair portion. V'lo nachala b'ben Yishai, and you don't have an inheritance with Ben Yishai. Ratzon lomar ki yachziku b'machut, that they're gonna hold on to this kingship. O mitzad shekulam rotzim, whether it's because they all want it, v'yesh lam chalek bo, and they have a portion in it. O mitzad shehu melech ben melech shel machut nachala midor lador, or because there's this inheritance that it's passed on from generation to generation, the kingship. But this inheritance has nothing to do with David, because it tells us that he's the son of Yishai, that he was a commoner. There is no inheritance of the kingship. And therefore everyone went back to their tents, because he convinced them that they weren't going to gain anything by sticking with David, and they weren't going to get anything, and it was never going to be fair or equal. So the king took the 10 women, Baruch Chachmeinu Zaz. So our rabbis explained, and this is the Yerushalmi that we just read. Mivnei shehishtamesh behem hedyot ve'asurim l'melech. Since a common person used them, therefore they're forbidden to the king. Ve'lechach hikdim la'asot davar zeh tekef bevo'o. And that's why he did this thing immediately to take care of these 10 women. L'harot she'av shalom hagam she'bachruhu u'mashchuhu kol Yisrael. Ashlam, even though all of Israel had chosen him and anointed him, Hayalo din hedyot, he was still just a commoner. Ki ein lahem koach limrod b'machuto v'hamlich ish acher. They don't have the power to rebel against his kingship and to appoint another king. V'ze yehaot, and this would be the sign by taking care of the 10 women. Ki kein yinhag im sheva ben bichri v'im hamordim bo ata. And this is how he would behave with regard to Sheva ben Bichri and against all those rebel now. Lahanisham kemordim, to punish them like rebellers. V'ha'am yishma'u v'yir'u, and the nation would see, would hear, and they would see. So meaning he didn't give any legitimacy to the kingship of Avshalom, even though he was anointed and chosen by the people. He treated him as if he were just always a commoner, and that's why he was forbidden by the 10 women, because Avshalom, as a commoner, had used them. And this is, he's giving a message out that anybody who chooses a different king, it would never be legitimate, and it would just be seen as a rebellion. Okay, and we will continue next week with the actual rebellion.